morning. Good to see you this morning. You're so full of turkey, you don't know what to do. Let's all stand together. Great to see you. Great to see you today. We're going to begin our worship time. We have a lot of stuff going on today. Our kids choir is going to be singing. The celebration choir is going to be singing. We got baptisms going on. It's all kinds of stuff going. But it's time to worship right now. So I want you to open up your mouth, and we're going to sing great things. Here we go. One, two.
Well, good morning. It's great to see all your bright and shining faces this morning. Welcome to Cornerstone. It's great to have you. If you're a guest today, I would ask that there's a card in the seat right in front of you. If you could fill that out, place it in the offering basket in the back. We just want to get a chance to get to know you a little bit better. We've hound you, won't come to your door and bash it down or anything like that. We just want to get a chance to get to know you a little bit. Also, if you would or if you could, go on to Facebook, check in, and say that you're here. We do that so that other people know that you're here, and maybe they might be interested in coming back next week so we can share the love of Jesus with them. Let's pray real fast, and then we're going to have a baptism. Father, we love you so much. We praise you for who you are, God. You're so good to us. Lord, we trust in you, and we praise your name. Lord, we lay at your feet. Bethlehem coming up, we ask that you move in a mighty and powerful way. We ask that you bless these services today, that you would just be in it and through it, and that you would touch our hearts and our minds, and that we would leave here just a little bit different. Lord, that we would impact our community for you. Lord, we trust in you. Bless this time now. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
All right. We have an absolute joy this morning. We've got two sisters, Kate and Tarrant and Bailey Tarrant.
Amen.
Baptized this morning. Kaylee's story happened at SOAR. She had a moment at SOAR and just had been going through a lot. Lord had been dealing with her, and she made the decision to follow Christ and make him her Lord and Savior at SOAR. And now she's about 4 or 5 months ago, probably. And then little sister, Bailey, it was probably about a month ago-ish on a Wednesday night.
Amen.
And the Spirit was just knocking, and she was like, I need to visit. Sat down and she let go, and it was really, really awesome. And so what a joy it is to have these two sisters be baptized.
Amen. Amen.
And so I'm going to ask Kaylee just some questions and things, and then I'm going to go ahead and baptize her, and then she'll get out, and then Bailey will come in. A couple things about baptism. I know we've got a lot of folks in here. Why do we do it? What does it represent? This water is not magical or mysterious.
Right.
It came from
our
water heater in the men's bathroom. The water hasn't been blessed or anything like that. There is no power in this water whatsoever. The water, this baptismal, represents the grave.
Yes.
And what Kaylee has decided to do is to give her life. Her version of Kaylee is not good enough, and she knows that. There's no way that she can earn her way to heaven. And so she is going to recognize with Jesus and be buried in the water. And then we are symbolically going to raise her up. And Kaylee is now going to live the best version of Kaylee.
Amen.
The version
Amen.
That Jesus intended for her to be. And that's what it means to be born again. And so this is all symbolic. It's just a representation outward and physically of what's happened inside of Kaylee's heart. Okay? So Kaylee, do you believe that Jesus came down from heaven with the birth of life? Do you believe that he died on the cross for your sins and for all of our sins? Do you believe that by accepting his forgiveness, receiving him into your life, that he is your Lord and Savior, and that you're going to follow him for the rest of your days? You're not going to be perfect. There's going to be ups and downs, but you're going to pursue him for the rest of your days. That is awesome. Well, based on the authority of God's word, we, as a fellowship of believers here at Cornerstone, we baptize you, our sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay. While they're finishing up, come on, guys, get up here. What you waiting on? Okay. All right. Good deal. Here's what we're going to do this morning. This is our kids' choir. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something. On Wednesday night, they can blow the roof out of that choir room over there when they want to. Sometimes we get in here and they're like, So I want you to smile at them. Okay? I want you to encourage them. We're going to sing I Thank God. The only thing is we're going to do it in their key, which if you're a guy, you're going to think this is crazy. It's going to sound really high. Okay? But we're going to do it. Are you ready, choir?
Yes.
Oh, come on. Are you ready, choir?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. Listen to it. Ready, band? Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. Watch the screen, choir. Gonna start. 1, 2, 3, and 1, 3. Come on, choir. Wanting a place to hide this weary soul, this bag of bones. Sing out. Just stay there, Ben. We've got to move some microphones around, and while we're doing that, Pat's going to talk to you a little bit about Bethlehem.
That's what that is out there. That's Bethlehem. Hey, Shelby. How are you? Hey, Larry. They're my dear friends. And the ones that's coming need a friend. Don't let them just be your pastor. Let them be your friend. Just a little commercial. Hey, Larry. Bethlehem. It's built. It's going to rain Wednesday. I wouldn't suggest starting on your booths till Thursday. Okay? If you're not involved, you need to be involved. You won't ever feel like I feel about Ben Kaiser and John Pruitt. Unless you work beside them. Amen. Don't just attend a church. Be the church. Amen. And the only way you do that is find somebody to get yoked with and do stuff. Yes. So if you want to have the blessing of your life, do that. Amen. So if you don't have a job, find one. Just ask somebody. We'll give you one. All right? So be involved. We do it next Sunday, next Monday, next Tuesday. If it rains, we'll cancel that day and put it on Wednesday. Okay? So everybody knows. She needs a whole lot more cookies. She's got plates to put them in. Right, Deborah? So we need a bunch of cookies. So do that. If you need costumes, we can take care of that. Come and be a part. You'll never, ever enjoy what church really is unless you be a part. Amen. All right? Everybody good? Ma'am, I do too. What kind of costume you want? Optimus Prime costume. I'm with you, buddy. Out of the mouth of babes. Any other questions about, if you weren't in connection groups and you don't know what that yellow box is about out there, ask somebody.
This morning we begin our Christmas, the advent of Jesus coming. I was thinking this morning about how dark the world was at that time, how dark, how much they were looking for that light to come. So this morning we're going to sing, "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel," and then we're going to sing, "What Child Is This?" And I just want you to stand and worship as we sing. Sing with me. Ready?
O come, O come, Yeah.
our hope that this month we will honor Him because He is Christmas. Two songs together as our last congregational song. We're going to do Angels We Have Heard on High. We're going to mix in a little bit of Open Up the Heavens. All right? So let's sing together. Ready?
Here we go.
One, two, three.
Check, check. Check, check. Can y'all hear me in the back? Okay. All righty. Now, there's some old people there in the back. Make sure. Just a specific one. That wasn't meant for everybody. Well, hey, it is a joy to be here this morning to get to share God's word with all of us. Whenever you preach, it's never a preaching at. It's never even a teaching you. It's all of us being exposed to God's word. And it's an extremely humbling thing to do if you've ever been up here, because you don't feel worthy. You're not worthy. But it's only through his strength and through his word that anybody's able to do this. And so I'm going to open us in prayer. My name is Branson Washburn. I'm the youth pastor and minister to college students here at Cornerstone Baptist Church. And I'm going to open us in prayer. I'm going to open myself in prayer. That's what I always care to do before we get into the word. We're going to be in Judges 6 this morning. And I tell you, before I do, I guess I'll just say, this past semester in our youth time on Wednesday nights, we call that Wednesday Night Lights, we've averaged between 60 and 70 students have been back here on any given Wednesday night. I think our high time was about 81 kids back in our little box back there, and it's been an awesome time. But one of the things that young people today, not necessarily specifically our students, but some of them it's true, but young people in our society today, they use words like depression, anxiety, isolation, and they've never used those before until really this generation. Young people struggle oftentimes with their identity, on who they are. And when they watch the TV, when they scroll their social media, when they pay attention to commercials, it can be very, very confusing as to who they are. And there's a lot of noise in their life, a lot of noise that's telling them who they are, who they could be if they wanted to, that it's totally up to them. There's a lot of misinformation out there. So this past semester in Wednesday Night Lights, we've really tackled the issue of identity. And so there was a character in God's word that's really jumped out to me, and his name is Gideon. Gideon was a young man. You guys know, he claims to be the weakest of his tribe, which probably means he's the youngest boy. I think he's a young man. I think he was a teenager. I think he was the age of a lot of students that we have in this congregation and that attend on Wednesday nights. And so we spent about 3 weeks just diving in to Judges 6 and Judges 7 and looking at the man, the young man of Gideon, and how Gideon's name changes. Gideon's identity changes, and that process of what happens, right? Gideon wasn't medicated to change his identity. Gideon cried out to the Lord, and something happened, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. So let me pray, and we'll jump right in. Father, thank you so much for your word. God, thank you for the truth that's in it. Thank you for its transforming power. God, thank you for the way it breaks us. It cuts through all of our mess, all of our excuses, all of our thoughts, all of our ideas, all of our logic, all of our knowledge. Your word cuts through all of that and brings us face to face with you. God, so often I am like Gideon, and I have all these thoughts and all these plans, God, but your word does not change, because you don't change. And that's the only thing that we can count on. Father, I pray this morning as we get into it, as we jump into this chapter and we look at Gideon, Father, I pray that your spirit would speak, that your spirit would speak to me, that your spirit would speak through me, that you would somehow transfer Branson's words when they hit the ears of those that hear. Let them be your words. Let them resonate into our hearts, into our minds, not just so we can write something cool in a journal, but God, so that our lives would change and others would come to know you as their Father and as their Lord and as their Savior. God, that is our goal. That is why we are still here, is to make your name famous. So God, I pray this morning that you would guide all of us and direct us. If there's decisions that need to be made, I pray they would be made. Father, we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If y'all would stand, we're going to read the first 10 verses together in chapter 6 of Judges, and then we're going to take off. So here it is, Judges chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. It says, "The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight, So the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. That's a lot of our young people. They hide. They hide behind all sorts of stuff. They've resorted to caves, to mountains, to a screen. They're hiding. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders from Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel, camping in the land and destroying the crops as far away as Gaza. They left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all the sheep, goats, cattle, and donkeys. These enemy hordes, coming with their livestock and their tents, were as thick as locusts. They arrived on droves of camels, too numerous to count, and they stayed. They stayed until the land was stripped bare. So Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. Verse 7, when they cried out to the Lord because of Midian, now understand something, their cry was not due to their own repentance. They weren't saying, Father, forgive us. Father, we have sinned. Father, oh, come help us. We are sorry for worshiping Baal. That's not their cry. Their cry is because the Midianites have come in. So remember that. Verse 8, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites. He said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of slavery in Egypt. I rescued you from the Egyptians and from all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and I gave you their land. I told you, I am the Lord your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you now live. But you have not listened to me. You may be seated. So real quickly, we have in 10 verses, we have the problem. We have the problem. And the problem is not that the Midianites have come in. That's what the Israelites see. And by the way, this message is to believers. This message is to people who have pledged their faith and their trust and their love and their devotion to the Lord. These were God's children. These were the Israelites, the chosen children of God in the Old Testament. Fast forward to 2024, those of us who are believers in Christ, this message is for us. This message addresses our disobedience. That's what it says. The very first line, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. See, the problem isn't Midian. That's the consequence of the problem. The problem is that they did evil in the sight of the Lord. Oftentimes, young people, old people, medium people, whatever, feel like we mess up and God looks at us and he brings punishments. That's not how God works. That's not how God works. He doesn't just look for us to make a mistake and then he casts down punishment on us. No, we continue in those mistakes, then he allows the natural consequences of those choices to come in. He wants so desperately for us not to engage in that behavior. So much that he sent his son to die. What else can he do? And he gave us a book to explain it. What else does he have to do to get our attention? The Midianites was not God saying, I'll show you. No, it was the natural consequence. Don't intermarry with people that don't worship Yahweh. They did it anyway. That's the natural consequence of what happens. So we got to understand that. Also, as we look through this, you're going to see an identity change in this heavenly being. Now, when Abraham walked, he had three visitors that came to him. And I love studying, like, who were those visitors? Was one of them Jesus? Is one of them, like, what's going on? Angel of the Lord, what's up? You're going to see something here very similar to that with Gideon. It's only going to be one, but you're going to watch the identity of that one change as we go through the story. It's very subtle. You will not notice it. But I'm telling you, notice it when it happens. The issue here, and God explains it, the land that the Midianites were coming into, I mean, what was that? That was their land. That was their promised land. That was their blessing. That was their gift from God for being God's chosen people. Not because they earned it, but because they were God's chosen people, he gave them a gift. And it happened to be soil. Soil that grew crops. Soil that made the cows eat the grass so that they could become fat and healthy and they could kill them and eat them. Right? The land is what benefited all of the people. That was the blessing of God. And in John 10:10, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. This promised land that the Midianites have now taken, that is those people's abundant life. That is what it represents. That represents their abundant life. And yet God has allowed someone to come in and take their blessing. Do you ever feel like that in your walk with the Lord? God, I feel like I pray and you don't hear me. I don't even feel like you're there anymore. God, this stuff is happening in my life. And I'm talking about our young people. Why would you let that adult do that to me? Why would you allow that abuse to occur? Why would you allow those people that are supposed to be my friends treat me like that? God, what's going on? I don't understand. The promised land, the blessing of God, the abundant life that the children of God in the Old Testament were so excited about living in had now been trampled. And it could no longer grow crops. It was barren. They were starving to death to the point where Gideon is having to hide. The people are having to hide in caves. Why would God let that happen? That's a tough one for us to reconcile. But I think the very first sentence of the chapter really, really gives us some insight. As I read God's word, there's one thing that separates us from Him. It's sin. And it's not His. Do you ever read the Bible? God, I'm just not getting anything out of this. Lord, I just don't feel your power, your presence. It's hard to praise. I read this, but I'm not getting it, Lord. I don't get it. Guys, as a follower of Christ, that's wrong. That's not good. And it's not God that's wrong. The only thing I've found in His word that says separates us from Him is our sin. We have to get to the bottom of it. If we're walking, we're trying to walk with the Lord and there's all this stuff. What we've got to get to the bottom and figure out what that sin is. They don't know it yet, but they cry out to the Lord. They cry out to the Lord. And I want us to look at what that cry is. Gideon goes through a little bit of a process before God changes his name. And I think a lot of our young people can relate to Gideon. I can. I'm not a young person. I feel like there's a lot of older people that can relate to what Gideon went through. We're not going to get to the 300. We're not going to get to the flames and the breaking of the jars and all that. There's so much that occurs to change Gideon's name. And that's what we're going to look at. So as we keep going, I'm not going to ask you to stand as we continue to go through chapter 6. But what happens is, it's a very broad look. The nation of Israel is disobedient, so God answers them. He sends a prophet. And all the prophet does is just recite God's word, right? That's why God doesn't send prophets anymore like that. Because we have His word. We just have to read it. We just have to jump in it. We just have to let it be our clothes and change our lives, right? We don't have to wait for somebody to come down to heaven. He already sent Himself, His Son. But God sends His word and He reminds them. But then, this is so awesome. He gets real individual. He gets real specific, and He uses a character, Gideon, to explain to us so we can put ourselves in the shoes of Gideon to see what it looks like to go from hiding in a cave, being depressed, struggling with anxiety, not feeling like I'm loved, not feeling like God even knows my name, to becoming a warrior of God. That's what's about to happen in this chapter. So please pay attention. Here we go. Then the angel of the Lord, he first was a prophet, now he's an angel of the Lord. Then the angel of the Lord sits beneath the great tree, which belonged to Joash. The clan of Abiezer, Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of the winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appears to him and he says, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." This is very, very important. Gideon is in hiding. Gideon is a young man. Joash, his father, that's very, 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 very important too, who Joash is. And we're about to get to Joash. Gideon is hiding in the bottom of a wine press, but he's not pressing wine. He's threshing wheat because he's in hiding. He doesn't want the Midianites to come in and steal his blessing that God meant for him. God, why can't I be blessed like that other person? Why is it every time it's like my blessing gets stolen. Figure out where the sin is. That doesn't mean that when you're not sinning, everything's wonderful, and when you're walking with the Lord, bad things don't happen. That's not at all what this passage is saying. The passage is saying, look within yourself. Look within yourself and press yourself against the Word and God will reveal the answer, just like he's about to do to Gideon. So Gideon, the son of Joash, is scared. He's afraid. He's in this hiding place, threshing wheat, so the Midianites don't find him and take his food. Verse 13, "Sir," Gideon replies, the angel of the Lord comes to him, "Sir, if the Lord is with us," now you ask yourself, have you ever done this? Because I have. I have said these almost exact words to God, just, I may not use Egypt, okay? But just listen. "Sir," Gideon replies, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracles I hear about? Our ancestors, they told us about it. Where are they? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us. He's handed us over to the Midianites. What's the deal, God? I thought I'm supposed to have the abundant life that you said you came to give, yet I'm struggling with this. I'm going through this. I don't feel this way. Instead, I feel this way. I'm having to deal with sickness, with death, with divorce, with abandonment, with abuse. Why, God? I thought there were perks in this Christian life. Why? You did it for them. Why can't you do it for me?" I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand, but I'm going to tell you, I've been there many, many times. Probably be there again if I'm honest. Here's the thing. This is Gideon's cry to the Lord. Nowhere in that did Gideon ask for forgiveness. Nowhere did Gideon ask for repentance. So often we think that when we cry out to God, it has to be in all humility, which, yeah, okay, that's usually a result of what happens by the end of the prayer. But Gideon, here's the thing. When we cry out to the Lord, it's the bone set of God. Something has been broken. Some fellowship has been broken. When we cry out to the Lord, that's God taking the two bones and he's setting them back together. The healing hasn't occurred yet. It's about to. It starts with the bone set. Crying out to the Lord is us saying, "I don't like the consequences in my life, Lord. I don't like where I am. I don't feel like I'm walking with you. I don't feel like I'm benefiting from this abundant life. What's the point of being a Christian if my life is terrible?" That's the bone set of God. And sometimes he has to re-break it to get it right. Here's the thing, Christians. We have to be authentic in that message. "Oh, Lord, I know that things, but I trust you. Oh, God." Okay. And I'm not making light of that. I'm not being disrespectful. Guys, it's okay to shout to God and to be honest with him. He wants our honesty. He wants our authenticity. He wants our genuine hurt and struggle and our confusion. "God, I don't understand." No, you don't. Your ways are not my ways. "God, I don't get it. I can't believe you would do this. I thought you were a loving God. How dare you?" Guys, he's not going to strike us down with lightning. He's going to say, "Get it out. Get it out. Keep coming. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming." Because by doing that, we're drawing near to him. And when we draw near to him with our authenticity, with us being genuine, with our honesty, even though we don't understand, and it might be downright angry and hateful, even though we're drawing near to him, the book of James tells us when we draw near to him, he draws near to us. Our cry to the Lord, it doesn't have to be formal. In fact, it probably shouldn't be. It needs to be raw. It needs to be authentic. And that's what Gideon does. It's exactly what Gideon does. God doesn't rebuke him. God doesn't say, "How dare you talk to me in that tone of voice," like Marianne Washburn would say to me when I was 9 years old. "How dare?" No. He doesn't do that. You know what he does? He goes from being the prophet. He goes from being the angel. And now it says the Lord himself. There's something there, y'all. We got to quit hiding behind all of our stuff. And we need to be authentic with God when we don't understand what he's doing in our life. Because all that that's going to do is going to bring us closer and closer and closer to him. It may not bring instant understanding, but it will bring us closer and closer and closer to him. Watch what happens next after Gideon is so authentic. It says, but now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Verse 14. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. Something I didn't mention from previous verses is what the Lord told Gideon before he went on his rant. Did you see that? He says, you're a mighty warrior. He says, Gideon, you're a mighty warrior and the Lord is with you. Now look at his next message after the rant. It's basically the same message. You're about to kick the Midianites' cheese, man. You're about to get in there. You're going to clean house because I'm sending you. That's the same thing as you are a mighty warrior. I am with you. God's message doesn't change. God's word doesn't change. What's happening is Gideon is changing. As Gideon is authentic and genuine with the things he doesn't understand, Gideon begins to change. And that's a beautiful thing. That's for all of us. For the kid who's hiding in the cave, for the kid who puts his hood on and his head down in class and just scrolls on his phone all the time, be authentic to God. Try that out. And watch what happens. And I've seen it. I've seen the hoods come off. I've seen the eyes open. It's amazing. It's absolutely incredible. But only when that authenticity comes out. So the message doesn't change, but Gideon's message changed. The second time he goes to the Lord, he's not blaming God for all the problems. He's saying, well, I don't have what it takes. See, it's shifting. It's shifting. He believes God exists. He knows that there's a God there, but he doesn't believe that he's a mighty warrior. He doesn't believe that. See, he believes in God, but he doesn't believe God. That's our problem a lot of times. We know he's there. We know the little baby came in a manger and all that. We know he's there, but we don't believe him. When he tells us who we are and he indicates what he would like for us to do, we don't necessarily believe that. We believe he's there. We believe in him, but we don't believe him. Gideon says, but Lord. See, now it's Lord. It's no longer an angel. It's no longer a prophet. He says, but Lord, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest and the whole tribe of Manasseh. I am the least in my entire family. The Lord says to him, I'll be with you. Same message. And you're going to destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. It's incredible. God's word doesn't change. Now Gideon's to the point where he's kind of starting to get it. He's like, okay, is this really God? You ever been there? Is God telling me to do this or is the enemy telling me to do this? Is this obedience or disobedience? God, do you want me to sell my house? Do you not? Like, is this the Lord leading or am I just, you ever been there? I have. I'll be there again. Okay, that's where Gideon is. So here's what he does. He does what old Father Abraham is. And I'm going to make him a whole bunch of stuff. I'm gonna make him some biscuits, some beef. I'm gonna make some broth. And he goes and he collects it and he says, hey, Lord, angel, stay here. I'll be right back. And he goes and he gets his stuff. He kills the calf. He does it all. He has it all laid out. And the angel of the Lord, whoever this is, says, hey, put that stuff down on the rock. And so Gideon puts it down on the rock. He pours the broth all over it, and lightning comes down. Kaboom! And it takes it all up. And then the angel of the Lord disappears, and Gideon's like, oh my gosh, that really was God. That really was. This is incredible. I think I'm going to die. And then all of a sudden, the Lord's there again and says, you're not going to die. It's okay, man. It's okay. Gideon is not to where he needs to be yet, but he's doing business with the Lord. He's doing business with the Lord. And it started out with his authentic response to God. He doesn't understand. God is a loving father. If my kids come at me not understanding something, they don't get it. I'm going to listen. We're going to go through that process because I'm a loving father. Is there discipline that might occur? Absolutely. But we can't be afraid of that. We can't allow that to prevent us from coming to the Father. And that's what Gideon does. He's had it for 7 years, these dang Midianites. I'm tired of it, Lord. I want to know. And so he's revealing it in Gideon, and he's about to reveal the sin in Gideon's life. Here it is. After we've cried out to the Lord, after we've been authentic in our cry, and we've come to the point where, okay, God, I'm willing to trust you. I'm willing to come out of the cave, out of the mountains. The Lord gives us something incredible to do. He asks us to take a step of faith. And this step of faith is enormous for Gideon because it involves his daddy, the leader of the town, the leader of the community, Joash, the one who owns the land, the one whose tree that belonged to. See, Gideon thinks the enemy is the Midianites. And God says, no, we got to handle this first. Before you get to the Midianites, we got to handle this first. So check out what he tells Gideon to do. That night, the Lord says to Gideon, take the bull from your father's herd, that's 7 years old. Pull down your father's altar, not your altar. Tear down your dad's altar to Baal and cut down your dad's Asherah pole that's next to it. Then I want you to build an altar to the Lord your God here on the hilltop sanctuary. Laying the stones carefully, sacrifice the bull as a burnt offering on the altar, using the fuel as wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down. So, Branson, you're telling me that Joash, Gideon's dad, had an altar to Baal where they would do child sacrifice, probably about like this. And then there was an Asherah pole of sexual immorality and all sorts of unspeakable things. I'm not going to say this morning that we're here with a temple. You mean that's what Joash was doing? Yeah, the activity that happened in this room, if it resulted in a child, then that child would be taken and sacrificed on the altar. You serious? And Joash was, yeah, because Joash was afraid of his family and of his town people. He was afraid of his friends. He was afraid of what they might say to him if he didn't let them worship in their pagan worship. Even though Deuteronomy says if you have idol worship, you should be stoned to death. That's how far away from God's word that they had gotten. And so what does the Lord say? Gideon, you have to do this. Even though your family, your father, your friends, even though they're not going to like it. That's tough. There's that step of faith. We can all cry out to the Lord. But some of us, we just stay in the cry. We just stay in the cry. We never move to the faith. We got to take the step of faith. If we want to be changed, you're not going to be changed from crying out to God. Crying out to God is the first step in the process. It ain't the finish. When that bone gets set and that cast gets put on, when that cast takes, you can't stay in the wheelchair. You've got to take a step. You've got to walk it. You've got to test it. And it's going to be stronger than it was before. So Gideon takes the step. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. And he may lose that relationship with his dad. He may lose his life. But following God has become more important to him. Watch this. Early the next. So Gideon took 10 of his servants, did as the Lord commanded. Verse 27. But he did it at night. Because he was afraid. Okay, sounds like Nicodemus. Of the other members of the father's household and the people of the town. Here's the thing, guys. It's okay to be scared. Do it anyway. Quit praying for God to take away my fear. If you do that, you will die afraid. He will not take away your fear because he wants you, your faith, to be bigger than your fear. Pray for courage to overcome the fear. Major League Baseball players are still scared to death when that thing comes inside. They've just learned how to overcome the fear. That's kind of like the Christian walk. Lord, take away my fear so I can be obedient. What? Then what's the point of your obedience? Do it anyway. That's what Gideon does, and it's incredible, the result. Early the next morning, as the people of the town began to stir, someone discovered that the altar of Baal had been broken down. And the Asherah pole beside it had been cut down. In their place, a new altar had been built, and on it were the remains of the bull that had been sacrificed. The people, here they go, here they go. They go to social media. They said to each other, who did this? And after asking around, they make a careful search, and they learn that it was Gideon, the son of Joash. Here it is. Here it is, Daddy. See, this ain't just about Gideon. This is about the sin of Joash. This is his moment of repentance, too. And watch this. It's incredible. What Joash was afraid to do, he was afraid to set the standard of his community. He was afraid to lead with God at the top. He might lose money. He might lose friends. He might lose a cousin. He might lose an uncle. He was, all of that had a greater impact on him than that until they threatened his own son. You want to see parents all of a sudden change their way, go after their kids? This is awesome. They say, bring out your son. The men of the town demanded of Joash, he must die for destroying the altar of Baal and for cutting down the Asherah pole. But Joash shouted to the mob that confronted him, why are you defending Baal? Will you argue Baal's case? Whoever pleads his case will be put to death by morning. If Baal truly is a god, let him defend himself and destroy the one who broke down this altar. From then on, Gideon was called Jerub-Baal. His identity changed, which means let Baal defend himself because he broke down the altar of Baal. Couple last verses. Soon afterward, the armies of Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east formed an alliance against Israel. See, it got worse. Big alliance, huge alliance. They're all coming in. And they cross the Jordan. They're in their backyard, camping in the valley of Jezreel. But look at verse 34. See, this is the abundant life. This is the abundant life. This is what allows us to experience the blessings that God has for us. This is our goal as Christians. Here it is, verse 34. Then the Spirit of the Lord took possession of Gideon. The Spirit of the Lord could not take possession of Gideon while all that sin was there. But Branson, it wasn't really Gideon's sin. It was his dad's sin. I know. I realize that. A lot of our young people, they hide. Not because of their bad choices, but because of mom and dad's bad choices. It's generational, and it affects them. And they're in a place where if they're going to follow Jesus, it means they have to step out and go against what their parents are teaching. I saw a family that whose mom came to Bethlehem, the Cabreras, and they stepped out of their culture. They stepped out from their ethnicity, the belief that they had been taught, and they made enemies. But they're walking and they're following Jesus, and slowly but surely, it's happening. We've got to cry out to the Lord and allow that bone set to take place. But we can't stop there. We've got to dig in. We've got to continue to be authentic with God. He can handle it. He can handle us. But then it has to produce that step of faith to figure out where does the sin lie. And in this case, it happened to be with Joash. And it happened to be a horrible, horrible, horrible thing that was going on. Yours may not be that huge, but it doesn't say big sins separate us from God. It says sin separates us from God. And until we deal with that, until Branson deals with that, I will never have the abundant life, the relationship with the Lord that He came to have with me. And that's what we have begun to learn from Gideon. There's other things that happen as you read through. I would encourage you to read through the rest of this story and what happens with Gideon and how he becomes a general of the army and a judge of Israel. It's incredible. But this part, especially for our young people, it begins with a cry. And the identity changes when we place our faith and our trust in Him, no matter what the outcome is. He will change who we are. What we're going to do now is Neil's going to come up and he's going to play a song. And we're just going to have a time of prayer. If you want to pray, if you'd like to sing and continue to praise the Lord through song, awesome. I'm going to be standing down here. If you want me to pray with you about something, if whatever it is, you can use the altar as a place for you to pray. If you want to grab somebody's hand and pray with them, that's fantastic. But we're just going to have this time of just worship to the Lord. And so everybody stand.
Let's sing together. Only trust Him. Let's sing.
Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and He will show. Trust.
Thank you. Well, as we get ready to wrap up this morning, I just wanted to remind you of a couple of things. We talk about next step. What's your next step? What's your next step from the message today? It could be that your next step is about you being obedient, trusting God more than you trust yourself. Right? Not leaning on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him and let Him direct your path. It may be that it's time for you to step out and be a part of Bethlehem. Folks, you know, I was thinking this week, it's not about numbers. As many, I'd love to see 5,000 people walk through that gate. That's probably not going to happen. But here's what I know. I know that God already knows the outcomes. It's really about our obedience. It's about us being obedient to do what He's set before us. We do that, and we grow. We grow individually. So maybe it's time for you to sign up. You know, you might, you know, I know this is hard to believe, but actually I'm really not that much of an outward person. I would just soon be in my own little place, my own little self, and not. I know in order to do what God wants me to do, I got to stand up and talk to a bunch of people. I know that. And I got to sing. I got to sing songs in front of a bunch of people. That's not really who I am. That's not when I'm the most comfortable. And you may be like that. You may say, I can't get up in front of people and be in a shop in Bethlehem. And I'm telling you, yeah, you can. You can. You just let God show you. I've seen it so many times. People say, I can't. And then they do. And it just puts them on that journey. So folks, you do what God wants you to do. You trust God. I want to remind you that this bulletin, you know, every week we have these left over. And I'm thinking, why aren't they on somebody's refrigerator? So that they can look and see, wow, there's some good information for Bethlehem participants. And also, there's some good information here about what I need to know about Bethlehem. Take this and use it, folks. Use it, okay? Isn't it good to have Brother Larry and Shelby here today? Yeah, yeah. And so good. Do not be strangers, okay? Come around. We love to harass you. I didn't say that. No. As we exit today, folks, let's go do the Lord's work. All right? Let's celebrate Christmas the way it's supposed to be celebrated, and let's do the Lord's work. All right? Let's bow for prayer quickly. Thank you, God. Thank you for all that you set before us. Give us the courage and the strength to be obedient. Not to not be fearful, but to do what you want us to do. Individually, in shops, in the town, in the parking lot, everywhere, God. Just give us that strength to do what you want us to do. And Lord, please be with our pastor and family as they're preparing to on their move. God, just in every way, work, and allow us to continue to look to you. God, thank you for all you've done. In your name we pray. Amen.